From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his eighth message in a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3 records Israel's passage of the Jordan River. Before the people were the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. According to God's command, as soon as the priests' feet entered the river, the waters of Jordan were cut off, so that the people might pass through on dry ground. Very often, the Jordan is used as a picture of death, and in the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will show how this passage illustrates the Christian's encounter with the last enemy. The Ark is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since He has already passed through death and conquered it by His resurrection, He is able to bring His people safely through death's cold stream. In approaching the subject of facing death through the living Christ, Dr. Cairns first emphasized the solemn truth that all of us live in the sight of Jordan. The shadow of death hangs over everything in our lives. Our time in this world is brief at best, and soon we must pass over the Jordan. As Dr. Cairns will declare, death is certain. It is universal. No one can escape it. And it is final. There is no going back. Before returning to the message, Dr. Cairns provides a biblical perspective on the subject of old age.
People joke about growing old. I think we all like to both look for and receive funny birthday cards, especially as a few years begin to accumulate. But despite all the laughter, deep down, people really don't like growing old. And they don't think it's funny. Old age reminds us all that we have only a little time here. You talk to a man, as I have done, who's 100 years old, and he speaks of things almost a century ago as if they were yesterday. His life has sped past. It all seems so little, and indeed it is so little. From the vantage point of a child, 10 years seems an eternity. But from the vantage point of eternity, 70 years, or even a century here, and few of us will ever live that long, seems like nothing. And indeed, it is nothing. So old age reminds us that we all have a very little and a very limited time here. And then there is eternity. I remember visiting a 16-year-old boy in the hospital. He was unsaved, and he had no desire to listen to the gospel. I gave him a gospel of John and presented him with the truth of Christ and pleaded with him to be saved. He was very smiling and happy and very courteous to me. He had been in the children's meetings that I had helped to run in one of our churches outside Belfast in Northern Ireland. He listened, but he wasn't really interested. What he told me was this: I'll soon be out of hospital. He was about to have a procedure that was actually very common, but he said, I'll soon be out of hospital, and then I'll be able to do all the things that up until now I have not been able to do. And he told me all these things that he wanted to do, but being saved was not one of them. I visited him again, and he had even less interest. I left the hospital, and within a matter of days, that young man was in eternity. And I remember a question that a colleague of mine in the ministry put. Actually, he was the minister of the church that this young man attended. And this was the question. He said, just think, 16 years in time, and then all of God's eternity. And I say he put it as a question, because the idea was, where? 16 years, and then where for all of God's eternity? Now, I don't know whether you're old or whether you're young, but so often old people and young people neglect to look after the matters of eternity. The Lord promises us eternal life to all who come to him. And when we come to him, he promises us, even to your old age, even to hoar hairs, I am he. I will never forsake you, no matter who else may neglect or forsake you in your old age. I'll sustain you, I'll support you. But the greatest joy in your old age will be knowing not just the presence of the Lord here, though that is an immeasurable benefit, but knowing that soon I am going to be with Christ. Some of the saddest experiences in my life as a gospel preacher have been dealing with old people going out into eternity, and they had no thought of God, and they had no knowledge of Christ, and they had no hope for eternity, and they really didn't care. I think of an old man I visited when I was visiting my dad in his last illness, and I talked to this old soldier, and yet he went out into eternity without being willing even to consider where he was going to be. Some apostate minister had told him, you're a good man and you'll be all right. He didn't need Christ. Men and women, I am saying to you today, old or young, it's time to be saved. Because after this life, no matter how long you live, it's just going to be such a short and limited and little affair. You have an endless eternity. The question is, eternity, where?
God could ever save me, not
As you enjoy this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, we'd like to encourage you to obtain your copy of A Word in Season, the new devotional book by the Free Presbyterian Church. This volume will be an ideal companion for your daily Bible reading and prayer. In a beautiful hardcover edition, A Word in Season contains 366 clear, concise Bible studies on the major themes of Scripture concerning what it means to be a Christian. Each day it brings you a text of Scripture with a short study to edify and encourage you. At the back of the book is a section, Begin and End the Day with Scripture, which sets out a schedule of daily Bible readings designed to take you through the entire Bible once and the Psalms and the New Testament twice in 2 years. The title, A Word in Season, recognizes that we all face different situations and have different needs in our Christian walk. Whatever your season, youth or old age, sickness or health, happiness or sadness, blessing or bereavement, here are messages that will minister the truth of God's Word to your heart. The price is $20, which includes postage and handling. To obtain a copy of A Word in Season, you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Supplies are limited, so obtain your copy of A Word in Season soon.
We read in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, that David said, As the Lord liveth, and thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. David recognized something. He was forced to recognize it by the particular circumstances in which he found himself. But he recognized something that every man, woman, and child among us would do well to recognize. There is never more than a step between us and death. We are lodging inside of Jordan. David was just a young man when he said that. The other end of the scale in 2 Samuel 19, we have the question of Barzillai unto the king. How long have I to live? David was seeking to have this friend come back after he had been such a help to the king during Absalom's rebellion, come back with him across the Kidron and lodge with him in Jerusalem. Barzillai said, How long have I to live? I'm an old man. Time has gone. The river is just before me. I can see it. I can hear its lapping waters. I can almost feel the chill. How long have I to live? A young man says, There's but a step between me and death. An old man says, How long have I to live? The teaching is clear. The shadow of death hangs over everything in this life. All we do in life should be in the light of our impending encounter with death. You know, that places every interest of this life in a very, very different light. It places every pursuit of this world in a very different light. Men pursue the things of this world as if these things were here forever. I've been reading recently a biography of a young man whose financial schemes rocked this country and rocked the world. A man whose success was so great that by the time he was in his 30s, he was planning globally, not just for his own financial interests, but he was able, and indeed did to some extent, to set up the economies of nations around the world. By quite a young age, this man was raking in over $500 million in 1 year. And yet, to all accounts, or by all accounts, money itself meant very, very little to him. But it meant everything to those around about him. And as I read of the connivings, the skullduggery, how men sold their bodies, their souls, their families, everything, for money and for power, you got a vision of people who thought, this is forever. That young man today, I'm not quite sure, is either dying or dead of cancer. Still young. When you think of how people attack the things of life, the verve they put into it, the energy they put into it, when you think of the grip they take on the things of life, these are the things that interest. The man I'm talking about started work 4:30, 4 o'clock every morning, and would be finishing at 8 o'clock that night, or maybe later. Day after day after day after day, grasping these things as if they were here forever. But oh, what a different light is cast on the things of this world when you realize every dollar I make and every dollar I spend, every place I go, everything I do it in the sight of the river of death. Moses had that in mind when he prayed, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." How much we need the perspective of realizing that we lodge in sight of Jordan. The second thing we note in this first verse is that we must soon pass over that Jordan. We read, they lodged there before they passed over. And the next verse tells us that after three days, the officers went through the host and got them on their way. We must soon pass over. Not only do we live with the reality that Jordan is near, but we have got to face this, that in a very, very brief time, at the best, we're going to pass over. The certainty of our death is stamped upon us. The scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die. People argue about the predestinating purpose of God, about the foreordination of God, about God's appointment of events yet to come. And in all the academic argument, they very often overlook the simplest statement of God's sovereignty anywhere. It is appointed unto man once to die. The picture we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, as he is described to us in all his glory there, walking amongst the churches, We have him described as the one who says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Heard a great Baptist preacher once say that there may be a million doors into death, but the Lord Jesus Christ holds the key to every door. He has the keys of hell and of death. As the wise woman of Tekoa said to David in 2 Samuel 14 and 14, we must needs die. Where is water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again? The certainty of death. Oh, that God would take that simple but supremely solemn truth and stamp it on our hearts this morning, stamp it on our eyeballs, that we would not be able to look out at anything in this world without realizing the absolute certainty of death. And the universality of death. This was not something that was true of some of the children of Israel, that some passed over and some did not. This was something true of every one of them. Job said, I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. The universality of death. Ecclesiastes in chapter 8 tells us there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. Neither shall the wickedness deliver those that are given to it. What a statement that is. I must confess that there is an element in the can-do attitude that is so prevalent here in the United States that I find somewhat offensive, but I find it's also whistling in the dark. And it seems to be unique to the reporting. I have never read this kind of thing in, say, the Daily Telegraph or the Times or the Belfast Telegraph or the Irish Times or anything on the other side of the Atlantic. I'm referring to those occasions when a person gets sick. Maybe a virulent cancer is found within them. It's all very well to have a fighting spirit, but that person, especially if they're famous, and their family very often are reported as saying, they're going to whip this thing. They're going to whip it. My mind comes to this verse. There's no man that has power to retain his spirit. This is true of kings as well as paupers, of presidents and princes, but of the poor and the needy. The young and the old are alike here. There is none that can hold on in the hour of death. It can't be done. You may have the greatest medical team ever assembled. It still can't be done. But especially I want you to understand this, that the wickedness that seems to serve sinners so well in life, the wickedness and the graft and the debauchery and the sinfulness that has intimidated men will not intimidate God. The wickedness that has opened many doors in life is not of any use in seeking to close the door of death. Their wickedness will not deliver them. Oh, that we could get the truth not only of the certainty of death, but its universality. A universality that not only says this is true of all men, but it comes right down to every individual man, one after another, and says, this is true of you. And of course, the finality of death, when you cross in the swellings of Jordan, there's no going back. It is appointed unto men once to die. There is no turning back. We must soon pass over Jordan.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.